Good morning to each one of you.
What a blessing to be gathered together and to be able to look into the Word and study. Had my wife load up my Bible. Are my notes there? Well, planning to speak on Romans, continuing our study through Romans. If you want to turn to the end of chapter 1, we had covered through verse 28. And talks about how mankind without God sort of just works its way into a hole until we are totally depraved, where we don't even know what's good for us naturally anymore. So picking up in verse 29, we'll read verse 29 through chapter 2, verse 12, I think it is. Verse 11, I think, and that's probably where we'll stop. So maybe we'll just read over that for now. Being filled with all... Well, let's back up a verse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. If you remember, I talked about how doing our own thing is not convenient. As convenient as it seems to be. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Maybe they're folded up. I will look a little bit harder. I thought I saw them there. And I put the Bible up. Okay. An almost two-year-old. I guess that's what happens. Okay. Sorry, guys. Chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? For despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Going back over to verse 29, we'll sort of walk through it and I'll share some thoughts. Being filled with all unrighteousness, I had to think about how all of our righteousness is filthy rags right from the start, even if we're trying to do good. But how if we're walking away from God, our lives will be filled with unrighteousness. and really thinking about righteousness being the best that God knows. Like, the ways of God are right, and they all work together. I really like that. Yeah, I did a word study on righteous in the Proverbs as a young man. And if you think about what it means to be righteous, it can be helpful. Fornication. That probably all know that the Greek is porneia. Basically, indulging in lust has the connotation of being a harlot, and adultery and incest. Fornication, wickedness. Wickedness, according to the Strong's, is depravity. Missing that which we are made to thrive on. Or malice. Seeking others' harm. Or plots. Like working together with others for evil. So being filled with fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Thinking you should have what God has given to others. This is what Satan did when he wanted to be like God. It is different than working to have something similar to what others have, but rather it's that feeling of entitlement. Covetousness is lifting yourself up mentally and opening the door for bad feelings, scorn, robbery, and vandalism. If we first think something should be ours, it's only a small step to start acting like it is ours. This is denying that all that we have is the combination of what God desires to teach us and what we have worked to have. Maybe we should be working harder. Maybe we should be giving more. Maybe we should have less than we do, or more. What God wants for you is so much better than your desires. Delight in what others have for their sake, not in jealousy. This is one of the sins that makes almost every list, or every bad list in Scripture. I think it is something that we should take very seriously when considering something like taking on debt. If you're satisfied with what you have, are you satisfied with what you have, or do you want to have someone else's resources to use until you can pay for them? So my dad likes to say, you know, what is it, 1 Corinthians 5, where it talks about excommunication and says to separate from covetous people. And my dad says, he doesn't know how you tell if someone's covetous unless they have debt. So that's sort of where I get some of that. So covetousness, maliciousness. Maliciousness is badness or depravity, malignity, trouble, naughtiness. This is really the idea of bad actions motivated by bad feelings towards others. So I found it interesting that both wickedness and maliciousness have the connotation of depravity or lacking what is best for you. And they're on both sides of covetousness, which is wanting what others have. So full of envy or ill will and spite. Murder, which is basically hatred. I mean, if you think of it, hatred leads to murder. Debate, quarreling or wrangling. Deceit, basically trickery or setting traps for people. Malignity, bad character, or specifically mischievousness, which is bad action. Whisperers, secretly making others bad by making false statements about them, making others look bad by making false statements about them. And then backbiters, talking against or slandering. Haters of God, the literal definition of that was impious, or like disrespectful to God. Despiteful, an insulter, or a bad treater, somebody that treats someone badly. Proud, appearing above others, or haughty. Boasters, and I had a word here that I, in the definition that I had never heard before, but a bragger, I guess. Somebody who brags. Inventor of evil things. They discover or contrive. This is the only time in the New Testament that the Greek word is used that is translated inventor. And then the evil there is intrinsically worthless, subjectively depraved, or objectively injurious, and disobedient to parents, unpersuadable, the word means stubbornly or willfully disobedient to authority. Another one of those new words for me. Then verse 31, without understanding, unintelligent, or by implication, wicked, covenant breakers, treacherous to compacts or agreements, without natural affection. I would have naturally tied that back into men burning with lust towards men, but it has the connotation of family love, hard-hearted towards your kindred or your family, and implacable, literally without libation, which it says is a drink offering poured out to a deity, which usually accompanied a treaty. So I found that interesting. Basically, unable to make agreements or to be agreeable. And then unmerciful, merciless, making sure everyone suffers all their punishment. Then verse 32, they know God's judgment is that death is the wages of these things. Yet they do them anyway, and even think it's great that others do them habitually. How do you view people who do the same bad things that you do? It is easy to be fascinated by the evils around us and even take pleasure in others' evil that we wouldn't even do ourselves. So I think when we read over lists like that, I start thinking about other people. And I think Paul knew what he was doing when he wrote this, because that's the normal thing to do. Start thinking about others when you see bad things coming out. But then chapter 2 just takes you right into how do you treat yourself in those things? So I have sort of, maybe my translation somewhat. Therefore, you're guilty no matter who you are. If you judge others, you are only showing how bad you are, because you are guilty of the same things. We are all condemned together. I have a little story. When I was, I guess, about 5, our family built a house, and we'd always lived in old houses, farmhouses, before that. And so it was nice to be in a new house. Shortly after we moved in, my dad decided that we were going to blacktop our drive. And so we had just put the yard in, and I guess it was a muddy spring, and all of us children, somehow, I'm not sure whose idea it was, but we all had our trikes and bikes out, and we were driving around in the yard and driving out on the blacktop. It was a lot of fun, but a lot of mud was going from the driveway, or from the yard to the driveway. Anyway, when Dad found us, I don't remember if he asked who started or not, but he took us all in and lined us up on a bench and gave us all a spanking. And as I thought about us being guilty together, when we judge others, think about what good would it have done for one of us to go and say, hey, they were driving out in the yard making a mess, because we were all doing it together. And how much does God look at us when we complain about other people's failures and think, don't you see who you are? Like, there's nothing good in you either. Verse 2, God's judgment is true against these things and against all things. If we think our judgment is good, wait until we see God's judgment. It's going to be perfect. Do we trust God with the judgment of others, or do we feel we have to figure out others' guilt? Verse 3, do you think that somehow you will get out of your punishment from God? since you do bad things just like those people you think are so bad? Verse 4. Do you not like how rich God is to others and doesn't strike them down for all their evil? God is rich in goodness. That's usefulness, moral excellence in character and demeanor. Also gentleness and in forbearance. Self-restraint and tolerance. Patience and waiting for right to win out in the end. It's all about how easy it is when we're talking about people or even hearing other people talk about if there was a God, he would really destroy these bad people or some bad person that you really think is getting off the hook. To realize that it's God's forbearance, God's patience, and then also long-suffering. The Strong's has a disposition to bear injuries patiently or a fortitude to think about God is long-suffering. God is suffering for our sins just by patience of not bringing judgment to us. And then thinking about people that have been martyred over the years that suffer because justice is not being served. It is the same good quality of God, goodness, that drives you to turn from your evil and reform your character. It makes it possible, and it even makes it attractive. That's why you chose repentance. None of us are self-made or better than the next person. Don't boast, rather bow. Then verse 5. Your bad feelings towards others comes out of your own stubbornness and refusal to reform your own evil ways. These feelings are a savings account that will eventually mature, and God will pay his wrath towards you when he shows his righteous judgment. Verse 6. God will give you exactly what your deeds deserve. And as I thought about that, I feel like, well, that's where grace comes in. Okay. That we don't get what we deserve. And yet, I guess that deed of turning to God, I guess you could call that a deed, and that deserves God's favor. God has chosen to show favor towards that. If you search for glory and honor and immortality by enduring long in doing good, your deeds make you to receive eternal life. Verse 8, but if you're picking fights and not following after truth, but rather living wickedly, your deeds will make you to receive God's destructive passion and violence. Verse 9, those who do evil will get tribulation and distress, no matter what their pedigree or culture. And I had to also think of talking about the Jew first and the Gentile, and think of all the promises that the Jews had of blessing and God's favor. And yet, if they did bad, they walked outside of all of those promises, and they'll get God's destruction as well. Those who do evil will get tribulation and distress, no matter what their pedigree or culture. Those that do good will get glory, honor, and peace. What a contrast. God is not partial. He does not discriminate. Let's think about us, and do we discriminate, and are we partial in who we condemn or not? Anyway, that's what I have for you all this morning. God bless you.